and welcome to the Gaslit Podcast. This is episode 55, and thank you very much indeed for listening and for watching here, via watching here on YouTube as well. This week's episode, we're going to be talking about some of the serious issues within all the trades and in the plumbing and heating industry. We're going to talk about a few new tools that have come on board in the last few months, and a couple of tools actually we already have here at Gaslit. I didn't realise I'd actually gotten just as they've been released, and I'm going to run through that with you. And we have some listeners and some viewers' questions that we're going to get answered. But first of all, here's my friend Sean to tell you a bit more about the podcast. Are you a new person coming into plumbing and heating? Are you a homeowner that likes a bit of DIY? Or are you a business owner and want a bit more knowledge before you make some decisions on your plumbing and heating? Stay tuned to the podcast, and hopefully we'll be able to help you out with some of your questions. And welcome to episode 55, and thank you guys. I've got some new numbers to go up on the little board there, the little light box, but it turns out it only goes from 0 to 9. It doesn't repeat. So this is episode 55, and I don't have two fives. So I've got five and an S up there at the minute. So hopefully I can get that sorted out during the week. We've got a new little on-air sign there for the old retro sort of filming side of things, and it turns out that all the light glaring off the screen and stuff like that, it doesn't look great. So I'm recording this on my own here at the minute, over at Podcast Towers. So I just need old Digimike to be with us to help get that set up so it just looks nice and looks right for you guys. So I'm going to leave it switched off. So there's a couple of things I really want to go through with you to do with some news that have been in the plumbing and heating industry. And actually, it's the wider sort of trades really across the board, and it's all to do with workplace stress. So I'll read you out the report, the news report that come out. So trade supplier Ironmongery Direct, apologies for saying it wrong, has released its annual mental health report within the trades. It reveals an alarming level of work-related stress amongst tradespeople, with 91% of people reporting stress in the last year. A survey of the tradespeople across the country forms the basis of the mental health in the trades report of 2025. The research looks at the sheer scale of the problem. The leading causes of poor mental health amongst trade professionals, their access to support, and how further we can get it be delivered. It also includes incredible stories of tradespeople that have faced mental health struggles and difficulties and bravely shared their struggles and experiences in the highlight of the importance of seeking help. In the report, the findings show that mental health challenges in the industry persist by some measures and are more widespread than 12 months ago. This year's survey found that a struggling 91% of tradespeople said they've experienced work-related stress in the last year, with 56% indicating that they experience stress at least once a week. This is a significant increase in the last years, when it was just over 27% reported work-related stress. Now, apologies for reading that wrong. I really wanted to get that news report right, so I cut and pasted it onto the teleprompter. I want to get those facts and figures as they've been reported. Now, I do struggle with reading and writing with my dyslexia. We've got a bit of a team here. So we you know, there's what, seven of us really that work together here at Gaslit. Now, it wasn't always that way, and I did work on my own. And when, you know, we don't have business degrees, we go, oh, we're really good at this. And typically, us tradies, no matter, you know, us plumbers, bricklayers, carpenters, and us guys, we work with our hands. And the reason why we do that is because most of us aren't that academic to be working sort of in offices and behind counters and sort of on IT and stuff like that. And that's why we do what we do. And that's great. It's horses for courses. And people are very academic and not very practical. And that's who we work for typically. And then we're the other way around. And so that's why we employ solicitors and accountants to then pick up the stuff that we're not very good at. And most of us, we don't have any business degrees or anything like that. So we sort of make it up as we go along. So we're working on our own. We do a hard day's work. We come home to our families and we're dealing with the family stuff. And don't forget, you've got to do the invoicing. You've got to do the quotes. You've got to chase up who's paid. You've got to do your VAT return. You've got to do your stuff for the accountant, or you've got a complaint that's come in and you've got to respond to that. You've got to order the materials for tomorrow. What about the materials you didn't need today? Getting those return back and getting refunds on those. And then what about the quotes, and what about booking in this, and what about doing so all of these things that line up for us, all of us guys in the trades, that then really does create a big stress in what we do. So it's really, really important that we sort of recognise that. And if you know anybody, and if you're working on your own, as let's say a plumber, and you know a brickie, I know I did this a few years ago. There was a couple of guys, they both sort of, one's retired and one's sort of gone off and done his own thing now. But we sort of created this little networking team between the three of us. So we used to have a bit of a joke and go out every Christmas. And it was our little Christmas party, because all three of us worked on our own. And having that constant sort of bit of support, you want to have a bit of a moan about someone, you want to have a, you know, I've got this struggle, what's your best way around it? You know, we wasn't really in competition with each other. And we did pass a bit of work and we did do projects together, which was absolutely fantastic back in the day. But that really did help with bringing us together and sort of people, you know, us guys understanding the struggles that we were all going through. So I really do think that it's important. Now, women do this all the time, you know, whether it's in the professional, whether it's in their private lives, you know, women have got this, they come together and they talk. And us fellas, we're not too good at that. So I think we do need to take a little bit of a leaf out of their book, really, into sort of having those open conversations. And what would be really good as well, and I know the merchants and stuff like that, and people in like maybe Screwfix or B&Q, that they've got other jobs on, but it'd be great if there was to have a bit of training to pick up on people that used to be happy and jolly and now come in and they're a little bit down in the dumps in what they're doing, and have those, be able to have that bit of time for that bit of a communication with them, and to give them some help and support. And it's not all about them, you know, when I go into a merchant's and the phones are a bit quiet for a couple of days, first thing I do is say, you know, how's it at the moment? You know, how's other people finding it? There's a couple of plumbers that I do link in with as well here locally. And just like, how are you finding the work and the calls and you know, the kit going out the doors? And generally, there's a correlation between, you know, if our phones die down, their phones die down. And, you know, it's an industry thing. You know, we've got weather, we've got holiday seasons, we've got even coming down to paydays, you know. So if people are postponing anything because they get paid at the end of the month. So if it's a week before, they may be hanging off for a week before they book us in and get us to do a job for them. So there's a lot of stuff to sort of think about there. But working on your own, I think it's the biggest problem that we have here within the trades, and certainly within the plumbing and heating industry. So also within the news is Wolseley Group have unveiled the Renewable Centre. So it's a nationwide incentive aimed at supporting heating professionals within the UK renewable energy solutions market. And I really do hope that they manage to retain their staff, because that's the biggest problem that we have in the merchants, is that you get somebody that's not from the background and they come on board, they get trained up, they get good, and then find out they're off again. And they're moving around, they're chasing that extra 500 quid a year or whatever it is, and they're moving around and they get a bit fed up. They've done every single merchant and then they leave the industry, and they take away all that experience and knowledge. And certainly when we start talking about like boiler parts and stuff like that, that's a really big thing in plumbing and heating industry. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of parts for all the different boilers out there. And they may have a slightly different word. You know, if you're using a flow turbine example, which is the, you know, the what turns the water on for a Worcester boiler, now they'll call that a Hall effect sensor. In an ideal boiler, they may call that a, can't quite think off the top of my head, for a backseat or for a valent. You know, they'll have different different words, but they mean the same thing ultimately. And same with hydroblock or return manifolds. It's the same thing ultimately, but it's when it comes down to the experience of the people, that's then when it really makes a difference. So hopefully they'll be able to, in their new little adventures, they'll be able to hold on to some really good staff there to help us guys when we're going in asking for bits and pieces, and they'll be able to tell us exactly what it is, or almost like, oh, you've asked for A, B, well, you're going to need C and D as well. And then so yeah, just one trip to the merchants, which is always great, two or three is a bit jarring, be honest with you. Another big thing in the news is vehicle tool theft. So they're saying that there a significant majority of Brits, 82% of Brits, agree that theft from van is at least as serious, if not more, than burglary from an office, despite carrying weaker sentences, while 69% think that breaking into an office to steal equipment and breaking into a van to steal equipment should be treated as the same level. And 13% believe that thefts from vans are even actually more serious than breaking into offices and warehouses. So, you know, when you're breaking into someone's van and you're taking their tools, that you're taking away how they're going to earn that money that day, the next day, and that week. And you really are making that tradesperson completely stop. And we're having a lot of stuff that's been sort of a lot of margins that are being eroded away from us. Now, we do have stuff that goes on where people can look up makes and boilers and how much is it, a piece of copper pipe or a valve or whatever else. So, you know, we happen to be transparent with our clients on pricing because they can just Google it and find it. So our margins that we're making are getting smaller and smaller. So when we do get something like this, it's absolutely devastating. And some tool thefts can, just on tools our own, let alone the vehicle damage, can top 10 grand. And most insurance companies won't insure tools into vans if they're left unattended. So, you know, they'll repair the vans, but actually when it comes to replacing the tools, they won't do it. There are some tool insurance out there, but typically the excess on it is really, really expensive. Now, here at Gaslek, I'm not superstitious, but I will touch wooden desks. I will touch headphones, whatever I need to do, because I don't want to jinx myself. We've not had this as yet for a tool theft. I had a catalytic converter cut off a van outside my house one evening years ago on a Mercedes Vito. But I've not. We haven't had break-ins. We've had little opportunists trying door handles and stuff, but we haven't had the full ripping the side door off the van, going through the roof to try and get into the vehicles. And I just wonder, is it something we just do that sort of reduces our risk onto this here? I'm not too sure, but I don't want to jinx it, or I don't want to give anybody any ideas. So we have the installer show coming up next month up in Birmingham, up in the NEC. So last year I went up there. It was the first year I've been up there. So I went into the main arena, and you're in there with your big companies, your Worcesters, your Bosches, your Baxes, and your Valence, and all the rest of it. They have their big stands showing off all their latest equipment. But just off to the left was a lot more smaller independent companies. And I didn't realise that until the end, as I was running out of time. So this time I'm going to go off to, if it's the same layout, go off to the smaller guys first. That's when you really get your little gems up there, your little tools that really will help you out, that little angled pincer set that will go into that little nook and cranny that someone's invented, and they're just selling it off at a tool show. So I'm really going to go to there first and then experience that and see what we can get and see what's new out there on the market. And I will do a little podcast on what we do find there as well. On that evening or the following day, I'll do a little bonus podcast on that as well. Hopefully there'll be some nice demonstrations, and they have a lot of talks as well from renewable companies or solar companies. So that'd be really, really interesting as well from that there. So some new tools that are being offered for 2025, and I didn't realise actually when I was going through, we've actually got a set, the Milwaukee Aluminium or Ali adjustable Stilsons. So we've got two pair of these here at Gaslek, about 70, 80 quid each. So they're quite expensive. I've got the black steel ones, and these ones are about, they must be half the weight. I haven't weighed them, but without a handle, they come in at 10 inches, and you add the handle, it goes into 18 and it extend the handle because it extends out, goes to 24. So when you're storing them, they will store as 18s, which means when you go into a place, if you need Stilsons for a larger sort of fittings, you only need to take two in with you, and that will do you from 10, 18 and 24. And then that will bring you through. The only thing I would say is the 24s, the jaws are just a little bit undersized. They're not quite deep enough. They could probably do with another 10 mil on the jaw, be honest, to make it that little bit bigger, and that will come through. But the weight notice is massive. Now, I use a rucksack to carry my tools around in when I'm going to jobs. And if you've got two sets of Stilsons in your rucksack with everything else that you're walking in with, that's a lot of weight. And when you take that off, that feels lovely. So having these in Ali makes a massive difference. Dealwall and Milwaukee have brought out some new press guns as well this year. So with press fittings, they're getting more and more cheaper, and they're really, really reliable. If you just make sure your copper pipe has got a tiny taper on it and it's nice and cleaned up, they slot in and you just mark them and press them on. They're super, super reliable. But the main thing is you don't stress the fittings. So you don't try, you can have a solder fitting go on. It can come off angle a little bit and the solder will take up that little bit of the excess there. You don't get that with the press fittings. So if you start stressing it, it's only that rubber seal that's keeping that water or gas back and that will start letting by. So you mustn't stress it. So some listener and viewers questions. So I really do like this section of the podcast. So why does my boiler not fire up on hot water, but only on heating? And if I do have the heating on, the hot water sort of works. Now, this question coming on email. So I think this is going to be like a combination boiler. So we have water flow sensors. So when you then demand the hot water at the tap, the water flows through the boiler. As it does that, there'll be some sort of sensor that will then say to the boiler, yes, moves the diverter over, and then the boiler fires up into the hot water demand. And the water from the heating system goes round and round the boiler, not round and round the heating system, and then that gets nice and hot through a plate heat exchanger. The cold water comes in, goes through these little veins and waterways, and then comes back out again as hot water. So when you say it sort of works, it sounds like it's a bit of residual heat that's on the flow and return manifolds that the cold water is passing through. And it's sort of heating it up a little bit and it's giving you a little bit of tepid hot water. So it actually sounds like quite a simple problem there, be honest, because if the boiler is firing up onto the heating mode and it's not changing for the hot water, it could just be a water flow sensor. Flow turbine, Hall effect, whatever it's going to be, some sort of flow sensor, and they're relatively straightforward to do. So I got a guy that I was out for a birthday get together last night, actually, and there was a guy that I know that listens to the podcast, Michael, and he's bought a new house. And it's all in microbore heating pipe. And he said to me, I'm going to replace the heating system because the old Imperial radiators. Should I change the pipework? And the ultimate answer is yes. Come away from that 8 or 10 mil pipework. They block up. You can't get the energy through them. But the main thing that we was talking about last night was to make sure that we're starting to move towards a low temperature heating system within your property. So when you talk about low temperature heating, we start thinking, yes, we can do all the calculations and you may need flow and returns of 28 mil, but he's only got a little bungalow. So I think 22 mil without seeing the place should be okay. And then take it as far as you can and then do the legs into 15 mil into the radiators. And make sure obviously we insulate the pipework as well that's running through. But the main thing is we start looking at is, if we're future-proofing the system, at the moment he's got an LPG boiler on a bulk tank. But if he did go over to some sort of renewable, whatever that is or what it will ever look like, that the system that he's gone and installed will be able to cope with that. And so an easy way of doing that is if you have a look online, you'll find calculators for how much heat you need to put into your room. So that's like a heat loss, a very basic heat loss survey. And you'll tell them how big the room is, how big the walls are, which way the window faces, how big's the window. And it'll say you need 1 kilowatt of heating to heat this room up here to 21 degrees of a rate for a radiator. We'll call that the emitter. you know, the radiator. And so then there's other websites that you can go on. And when you're then sizing your radiator, you can then size it to, typically you'll be a 65 degree flow temperature, which is like your high temperature heating. But you need to start looking now at maybe a 40 to 45 degree flow temperature, which is our low temperature heating design. So then we then start looking at what the radiator size do we need. And that could be twice as big as a on the output. So if you're now looking for a 1 kilowatt radiator at 65 degree flow, now you need to start specking it up. If it was a 2 kilowatt radiator, you need for that same space. And that will enable us to drop and reduce the temperature of the water in the flow, because it's giving that so much more heat out. So obviously insulating between the floors, insulating the loft, the walls, the windows, the doors, that's all really, really important. But certainly at this stage, as he's just bought the place, he's moving in, if we're doing it, just do it right and do it first time and do it right. So we can start looking at that. We had another question come in. If I increase the pressure, does that make the hot water work better? No, it doesn't. So all the water pressure is to tell the boiler that there's water in it and don't fire up because it's empty. And you can get catastrophic fails on heating systems if they fire up, the boiler fires up on a gas boiler. Oh, dear, apologise, hay fever. It does fire up and it's dry. So us humans, we have the gauge on the outside of the boiler, and that basically just tells us that there's water in it, or if there's an error code and it's on the zero, that's what it all is. Inside the boiler, there'll be a pressure switch of some description, and that'll then tell the boiler, is there water in it, yes or no? So, and then that's when what the boiler works off. Is there water? Yes, there is. I'm going to work. If there's not, no, I'm not. So, and that's basically how that works. And on the valence, I have a pressure switch, which then can judge if the pump's kicked in or not and to circulate the water. And they can play up. They're not expensive, 20, 25 quid, whatever they are, the pressure switches, and they can play up. But they're easy to sort out and to change. But so increasing the pressure doesn't make the hot water and the heating work any better. Some old boilers, some cheaper boilers, your Volcaris, your Hirolis, your early ones, your early Alpha CB and CD ranges, they're wanting getting up for 1.5 bar cold, where typically we're looking at 1 bar on most boilers. So they want it actually higher pressure than that. And that goes down to the quality of the components that they're using. And that's what that's all about. So there we are. So thank you very much indeed for listening, guys. I hope you enjoyed this episode, episode 55 of the podcast. If you have any questions or you want to be a guest on the podcast, email us at podcast@gaslec.net. Have a fantastic week. I hope this was of some help to you guys. Take care. Goodbye.